Amen. Amen. As the song says, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to rejoice in God for today. I will not be before you long, but if you will, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 84. Our scripture passage will come from verses 9 through 12. I'll give you a moment to get there. And when you get there, if you will, just say amen. Allows me to know that you're with me as I begin. Psalms 84, verse 9 through 12. Amen. I hear the amens.
Amen.
All right. And it says, well, you know, I hear pages turning. So let's wait. Let's all go into this psalm together. How about that? Okay, silence. Wonderful. It says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in the courts, in thy courts, is better than a thousand. And I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you today that you have blessed us. You have called us to assemble in this house today to not only acknowledge your goodness throughout this week, but to thank you for what you have in store for us for the remainder of this week and indeed the remainder of our lives. So, Lord, today, as we have in obedience assembled here before you, we ask that your presence be with us and that it abide in this house today. Father, I ask that everyone that is under the sound of the hearing of my voice, that there be clear understanding of your word. And Father, I decrease and I ask that your Holy Spirit within me increase so that the word that you have given to me today will be presented clearly and so that we can walk away from this house today with a better understanding of your will and your character. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. And God's people said, amen. Now, you know what is so interesting about this scripture in Psalms 84 is indeed it's the writers. You know, history says that this particular psalm wasn't written by David. It was actually written by the sons of Korah. And the thought that immediately comes to mind if you know scripture and you know history of the Bible is that you look in number 16 and you understand that Korah was one of the people in the Bible that actually rebelled against Moses and Aaron. It was Korah and Abiram and On and Dathan that said, wait a minute, Moses, we're Levites. We've been called. We have a calling on God and we know him just as well as you. And what makes you so sure that you're the only ones that can get a word from God? What makes you so sure that when God speaks from that cloud that you hear him clearly, we're certainly able to hear him as well. And so we see in this particular scripture that Moses, and you know Moses was one that had a problem with anger. How many of you understand and remember? This is the same one that said, I see an Egyptian harming one of my people, and I'm just going to kill him over on the side. And there's plenty of sand out here, so we're going to just throw this sand over him, and I'm going to go about my day, and everything's going to be okay. It didn't work out for him. And that was the first reflection of the anger that Moses dealt with. We see again that Moses was the one that God had to chastise because he struck the rock. God said, I'm telling you plainly, speak to the rock so that I can provide water for my people. Moses, in anger, strikes the rock and says, I gave you folks water. Now what? And God had to chastise him and tell him that's not the way. This is the same Moses that went up on the mountain and he fasted and God gave him the tablets. And when he came down, he saw that the people of Israel were worshiping an idol. And they had indeed gone completely back on the same God that had delivered them from Egypt. Threw the tablets, threw the tablets down and decided, that's it, I'm done with you, I'm angry. And God said, now you go up there and fast another 40 days with your little angry self. This is that same Moses. Now he's angry again because Dathan and Abiram and Korah and On have challenged his walk, have challenged the calling that God has on him. And he's angry. And he says, okay, since you all decide that you want to be the one to look at the Almighty, you want to be the one that is called, you want to be the one that gets the word from God, I'll be more than happy to allow you all to start fasting. Because I'm missing meals dealing with this foolishness. I'm missing opportunities to be amongst the people rather than out by myself dealing with this foolishness, dealing with this jealousy. And so let's fast forward now. And we find ourselves back in Psalms 84 after having seen Korah and Abiram and Dathan and On, the ground opening and swallowing up each one of them and their families. And when I have read this scripture, I have missed something. And God literally, it's almost as if it jumped off the page. And I was excited when I knew that I was going to come and I was going to preach this, because I wanted to share this thing with you as well. If we look in Numbers 26, verse 10 through 11, it says, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. But look at verse 11. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. In this situation where there was chaos, where there was rebellion, God punished Korah. And he punished Dathan, and he punished On, and he punished Abiram and their people. But he, in mercy, decided to spare the children. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? The reason is because they were still called. Because his covenant couldn't be broken. And so today, if I were to give this particular sermon a topic, it would be still called, still qualified. Still called, still qualified. Yes, your ancestors, your fathers offended me, but I still called you and qualified you. My original intent was that you serve me. And yes, I see what your people did before you, but you're still called and you're still qualified. And so I'm going to use you. I'm going to ask David to step to the side and to give you an opportunity to praise me for the fact that I spared you. That through history, you have had to stand and you've had to see Israel look at you, knowing the offenses of your fathers and your forefather, Korah. And yet now you stand and you're writing Psalms 84, and it says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. In other words, we understand that we stand before you today. Scripture says that history says that the sons of Korah were doorkeepers and gatekeepers for David. In other words, these same people, the descendants of this rebellious man, have suddenly been given the right to say who comes and goes. Who comes and goes. Yes, you can come in and see the king. No, you can't come in and see the king. Yes, you have access. No, you don't have access. But look, they have a different mentality. They have a different mindset. The mindset that they came from, or let's say the mindset that they were sprung from, said, we have a right. and we are going to usurp our authority. But the mindset that they have, these children, this remnant that God spared, says, we're just grateful to be here. We know that there's been some real issues in the past. But as for us, we're just grateful to be here. We're just grateful to have an opportunity to serve. We're just grateful to have an opportunity to praise him. I think verse 4 says that we just praise him. We abide in him and we praise him. This is where we find ourselves today. See, scripture is supposed to transcend time. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not a God that changes based on what we do. We can sometimes become very prideful and saying, well, I know God's going to change for me, but that is not the case. He is consistent. His covenant is consistent. And so now we see them in verse 84, and they're just rejoicing. They're just thankful to serve. They're just thankful to be in him. If we were going to have a topic, one that I wanted you to take as a takeaway, it would be, you are who God says you are. You will always be who God says you will be, regardless of your situation, regardless of your mistakes. Because, see, we in our natural thinking, we will literally phase God out and take God out of the situation because of our own guilt. Yeah, we made a mistake. So because I made a mistake, God doesn't want me anymore. And that's a lie, because you are who God says you are. Korah was a Levite. The children of Korah, Levites. And so even though there was a rebellion here, when God looks at him and God says, I see Levites, so I'm going to spare this remnant. And I'm going to allow you to continue to live. I'm going to allow these children to grow. I'm going to allow these children to learn the importance of humility in me. I'm going to allow these children to learn the importance of serving. I'm going to allow these children to learn the importance of redemption. This is where we live today. There comes a situation and a time where you have to be willing to let things go. See, that's the thing that we don't want to do today. Those are the things that pose a challenge for us. We don't want to let things go that God says, I don't remember anymore. I'm going to let that settle. We don't choose to let things go that God says, I have redeemed you from. I have taken you out of that. You are not that same mindset. And guess what? If we listen to people, if we listen to folks, they will try to drag us back into the sins of our fathers. They will try to drag us back into the mistakes of the past. And I'm telling you today that God's word is a redemptive word. God's word is one that says, move forward. God's word is one that says, remember the past, but live in your today and move forward. Move forward in the knowledge that God has given you of him and of his character, not looking back. Move forward in the wisdom that God has given you for your life and what he wants from you, not looking back. Move forward and away from mistakes and things that have held you back and those sins that so easily beset you, and move forward in him. Find yourself writing a psalm like Psalms 84 on the tablets of your own heart that says, I'm just grateful to be in God. I'm just grateful to be a porter in the house of my God, serving him and being available to him. I'm just grateful to be here to have another opportunity, because if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, how many hands here can say, where would I be today? I am not the only one that is a grateful heart today. I'm not the only one who knows that God is a Savior. But guess what? He's a Redeemer. See, the Savior came to save, but he also is a Redeemer, because when we're hard-headed and we do things that we ain't got no business doing, and we find ourselves in places we ain't got no business being, and we find ourselves doing things to people and then harming them that we should not have ever done, he says, well, guess what? I was the Savior that found you, and I'm the Redeemer that will bring you back. Can I get one amen today? I'm the Savior that found you, and I'm the Redeemer that can bring you back. We have to be confident, as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29 and 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And when we read this scripture, we got to understand who the biggest enemy is that we face. It's us. Sometimes we got to get out of the way. Sometimes God is ready to move us into a greater place, but we are the ones that are our own worst enemy. We have to see our own flesh crucified so that we make room for grace. How many of you know that the grace of God extends past our own understanding? How many of you know that the grace of God will grab you and pull you back when you don't even know you need to be pulled back? Some of the things that we are delivered from, some of the things that we are rescued from, some of the things that we are protected from, we don't even know that we're being protected, delivered, and that God is there every step of the way. And so we have to get out of the way, and we have to understand that God has a better place for us. And for him to do this, he's got to renew our mind. He has got to take us from this carnal way of thinking. And guess what? Carnality, regardless of what some people may think, is not always about debauchery. It's not always about lasciviousness. It's not always about impurity. Its carnality is often about doubt and fear and unforgiveness. In God's realm, carnality is anything that is against faith and anything that is against righteousness. And so when he says he has to deliver us from carnality and he has to deliver us from this low way of thinking, he's saying, I have to elevate your thinking so that this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so we find ourselves today walking with the sons of Korah and saying, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold when people know our past and the junk we've been in. No good thing will he withhold when our faith sometimes is too small to get us over that mountain that we could literally talk to and see it cast into the sea. No good thing will he withhold from us as we see other people being blessed and it seems like we never get a break. Don't you know that sometimes your blessing is being held up so that you can mature to a place that you can handle it? If God gives you something that you need too early, you will not appreciate it. You will not take care of it. You will not protect it. And so what does he do? He will hold it up and he'll say, let me mature you a little bit more. Let me get that foolishness out of you. Let me get some of that unforgiveness out of you so that when I give you this, you can be a good steward. This is the God that we serve today. This is a God that is a God of plan B. Sometimes we all need. How many of you need a plan B sometimes? You know, you've done your best. And there's a song that says, when I have done my best, let Jesus do the rest. That's that Baptist, you know, that other type of Baptist preaching we'll talk about. But when you have done your best, sometimes you have to let Jesus do the rest for you. And even if you don't understand it, understand there is a plan B. Adam, plan A. He blew it. Jesus, plan B. He redeemed it. Moses, plan A. He blew it. Joshua, plan B. Let's go into promise. There's always a plan B. And what do we need to realize this? What do we need to be able to walk into this? Faith. Faith that God still sees us in this realm of covenant. Faith that we serve an almighty God that is consistent in his love and in his faithfulness. Faith that we can walk away from the sins of our forefathers and some of our own sins into a place where God has for us, where we can be useful and we can be blessed. And then we see in verse 12, it says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that does what? Trusteth in thee. Let's look at our own trust levels as I end today. Let's look at our own trust levels. Let's look at where we are in our ability to believe that we serve an almighty God that's got everything in his hands and has all the plans in the scope of his understanding that's always above ours. And let's walk in trust.